the economic system of the kingdom of God. Faith is that which moves from the invisible realm, the things that we are asking God for, the spirit realm, because God's spirit, we're a spirit, we're in a human body, we are human, but we are eternal beings. And this temple that you're looking at right now, this temple of flesh, isn't going to live forever, but my spirit and my soul is, right? And so God is a spirit. He's seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. So when I got taken out of the kingdom of darkness, and when God brought me and deposited me into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of God, a whole new system and a whole new way of life opened up to me, because now I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. I've been born again, and I've become a new creation, and old things and all things have passed away from my old life, and behold, everything's new. So I've got to learn how to operate in the kingdom of God, even though I'm living in a very natural world where I taste and touch and feel and hear and see my physical senses. I now have to learn how to operate in this amazing supernatural kingdom. And that's what Jesus did. When Jesus came, he became flesh. The Word put on flesh. He was the second person of the Godhead. He is the second person of the Godhead. He hasn't changed. He is the Word made flesh. He is the language of God. When God spoke, Jesus created everything, and the Spirit of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God manifested it. And so when Jesus came as the last Adam and he became human, he's all God, but he was all man, he showed us what life could be like. He demonstrated it. He showed us what life could be like with a nature that was sinless and had no sin and was connected to God. Right? So, here we are, born again. And yes, we still sin. And we will sin until Jesus takes us home. But we don't live in that sin. We don't stay in sin. If I make a mistake, if I do something wrong, the Spirit of God on the inside of me convicts my heart. I say, God, I hate that feeling of hurting you, and I hate that ugly feeling I get, and I hate the sin more than I enjoyed the pleasure for a moment that it gave me, and I stop sinning. And we get out of sin consciousness where we're always sinning, we're always screwed up, we're always condemned, Jesus is mad at us, God is our enemy, because that's what the devil wants us to think. And we actually begin to step into maturity and we realize that, you know what? I am the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of Christ and of God in Christ Jesus. That God imputes right standing with me because I believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is and he's my Savior. There's an exchange. Right? So that means I got to learn how to operate in this kingdom. And just like I operate in America in a capitalistic society, and the dollar is that which moves goods and services. Our economic system is capitalism. Free market, ha-ha, but it was anyway. Which means free market simply means that you are constrained only by the law of supply and demands. Which means if there's a lot of supply and there's not a lot of demand, what happens to prices? If there's a lot of demand and little supply, what happens to prices? They go up, right? Okay, so it is an economic system. It moves goods and services, right? Well, faith is God's economic system. It moves the goods and services of heaven from heaven to earth. The just shall live by faith. God says that there's no other way to please him except by faith. Faith is a noun. I believe in Jesus Christ, my doctrine, my teaching, what I believe in, the precepts of my faith. That's a part of faith. But faith is every day listening to God, believing his word, finding his promises, and believing them in spite of impossible circumstances. And what it does is it snatches from the invisible and it brings it right into the visible realm. From your children being healed, from your marriages being solid, from having enough money to pay your bills, your personal needs, it all takes faith. It takes faith to have a good marriage. It takes faith every season. Listen, every season of life is different. And Jim and I have to find that point of faith where we bow to our old natures and say, shut up, and we come under the authority of the Word of God, and we do what we're supposed to do, and then we get on track, and then we're in love again. Sometimes he doesn't like me, and sometimes I do not like him. And I tell God, that's your son, you deal with him. But I have to come under the authority of the love of God. I have to come under the authority of the Word of God. And God says you are to reverence your husband. You are to respect him. You are to treat him like me. And if you don't treat him like me, you've just offended me. You see, I have to bow to that authority when I'm not in agreement with what he's doing. Right? Because how do you know that two people are not always going to agree. And you know that spaghettis and waffles, man, it's a mess sometimes. Men and women, we do not see eye to eye. We do not see same perspectives, but God put us together to learn how to love each other and live together. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things we don't see. Without faith, we can't please God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we are growing in faith. Listen, I am not where I was 31 years ago when Jim married this young woman that didn't know anything about the Word of God except what I'd been taught in my wonderful denominational church as a little girl. I have to work out my salvation. I got to flesh it out. I got to walk it out. I got to listen to what God says. I got to do it and then watch the manifestation in my life. And sometimes it takes a whole long time. So we've been looking at the established heart. And the established heart is a heart that is steadfast, immovable in faith. No matter what comes your way, no matter what kind of circumstances, no matter what kind of news you hear, no matter what you are facing in your life, what kind of threat or temptation or persecution you are that's coming at you, a steadfast heart is a heart that's going to stand. She's not going to be moved off of what God has said. She's not going to be the drama queen. She is going to be steadfast. She's going to have her emotions in check. She's going to have her sword out. She's going to have her shield of faith up. And she is trustworthy to take out what has to be taken out that is evil. And she has the ability to stand and not to quit. And she has the ability to see the promise of God come to pass in her life. Steadfast heart. So we looked at a steadfast heart last week, and I just want to review it really quickly with you. A steadfast heart is an established heart. This is the established heart, part two. You're steadfast, immovable. You know that you know that you know that you know. Just like somebody cannot talk you out of salvation. When you've heard the voice of God through his word, however he has chosen to speak to you, whether it's been through a rhema of God, a spoken word from the word of God that the Holy Spirit quickens to your spirit, and you know that God is speaking right to you, he's just given you a promise, and now he's told you, stand on that promise, pray in that promise, believe that promise. You see, an established heart grabs that word and doesn't let go of it until she sees her enemies destroyed. And in Psalm 112, it says, and it's a great song to read. It's a phenomenal song to song of it is a song. It's a phenomenal song to read. So go with me to Psalms 112. I got stuff everywhere. For you, O God, are God in heaven, and you are God in earth. And we praise you this morning. And we give thanks that you are the King of the universe. And we praise and we recognize your lordship and your deity over us, our families, our husbands, our children, our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers, our church and our community. We thank you and we humbly bow before you this morning and we ask that you would teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. To prophesy is to foretell or to forthtell. Forthtelling means I'm speaking of future events. Foretelling means I'm encouraging, edifying, and bringing you up. In the book of Acts in chapter 2, when they spoke in tongues, they praised God. I just spoke in tongues, and I just interpreted what I said. It was a prayer. I did that not to frighten you, but to tell you this is a supernatural kingdom. I'm a Baptist. I will probably be Baptist in heaven. But there are things that I was taught were not for today, and that is not true. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has equipped us with spiritual gifts. He's given us a prayer language. We don't abuse it in this church or in this house, but we believe in it. And if you're not speaking and using your prayer language, and you're not praising God out loud, my soul does magnify the Lord my God. You see, it's a supernatural kingdom. And sometimes you just got to know how supernatural it is. And in Psalm 112, it says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the woman who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Her descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in her house, and her righteousness will endure forever. Under the upright there arises light in the darkness. She is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good woman deals graciously and lends, and she will guide her affairs with discretion. Surely she will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. She will not be afraid of evil tidings. Her heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Verse 8. Her heart is established. She will not be afraid until she sees her desire upon her enemies. Now I use the word his for her because there's not male or female in the spirit. So it means a she or a he, humanity. So let's just look at that one more time, the established heart. Did I scare any of you in here? Don't be scared. Verse 8, her heart is established. Her heart is established. Her heart is established. She will not be afraid. When you are established in faith in your heart, you're not afraid. Fear cannot grip your heart and stop you. Fear and worry and anxiety and stress and all that wants to come on us because of the age that we're living in cannot grip your life and ruin a day, ruin an hour. It cannot stay on you because your heart is established in God, in who he is, in what he's done, and how he loves us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? But when 31 years ago, I didn't have all that down on the inside of me. And I have to walk out my salvation with fear and trembling. And some of you are new believers. Some of you have been believers for years, but you're not walking this out yet. Don't condemn yourselves, but let's learn how to walk in faith. And let's learn how to bring the invisible realm into our visible world and to see the miracles of Jesus and to see the supernatural. When I'm broke and I need money, God can supernaturally get me money. I've seen him do it. He's done it to Jim and I many, many times. Somebody walked up and handed us a check for $5,000 when we first got married. We needed that money to buy a house. It was a check, a cashier's check made out to us. And it was for nothing more than just the ability to have first right of purchasing a lot in Lake Arrowhead. That building project never even got built. Today, I wouldn't be surprised if I meet my angel in heaven and he just handed me that cashier's check. I don't know how it worked. So many times God has rescued us. How do you think we believe for a $12 million budget in this church? In a poor community if we don't have faith for it. But we understand these principles. Our hearts are established. Now, am I where I want to be? No. Because you never quit growing. I'm just scratching the surface. I'm just a baby Christian compared to where I want to be before I close my eyes and greet him. But it means that I'm going to apply these things in my life because life is a war, whether we want to know it or not. I am in war. There is an enemy of my soul. There's a thief that wants to kill and steal and destroy everything God wants to give me. But I have a God that has come to give me life and give it abundantly. Zoe life, the God kind of life. So my heart has to be established. I'm either going to bow to fear or I am going to bow to faith. I'm going to bow to sickness or I'm going to bow to healing and say, healing come in the name of Jesus. I believe that you are the healing God. I'm either going to bow to poverty or I'm going to bow to abundance. And I bow to abundance when I begin to learn how to give and have a generous heart. And money doesn't have me, but I have money. I'm either going to bow to weakness or I'm going to bow to power. I choose to bow to the power of God. A meek and a quiet spirit. My heart is established. Last week we saw that it was good soil that establishes the heart, because the heart is what the Word of God is planted. Every Word of God is in seed form. Jesus told us this when he told us the parable of the sower. Mark 4, Matthew 13. It's three times in the Gospels. The sower sows the word. We taught it last week. What happened? There was four soils. The first soil was hard soil. Right? Do you remember that? How many of you were here last week? All right. The first soil was hard. The second soil was rocky. The third soil was, who can tell me? Thorny. And the last soil was good soil, bringing 30, 60, and 100-fold return. Now Jesus interprets this parable. He says the sower is him. Now we are the sowers, right? Because we're the body of Christ. We're hooked up to him. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You are a sower of the word. I'm a sower of the word now. Spirit of God sows the word through us. The word is the seed. The word of God in this parable is the seed. And the soil in this parable is the heart. And Jesus said, if you don't understand this, you're not going to understand anything about the kingdom of God or any of the parables of Jesus. This unlocks everything. I'm talking about an established heart. I'm talking about the fact that my heart is where my soul and my spirit reside. My heart is where faith comes. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jeremiah said, the heart is exceedingly wicked. Who can know it? God says that the heart of the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, that he actually examines the heart. He sifts and he looks at every intent and every thought of the human heart. The conscience is the voice of our spirit. You have a conscience. Everything that is going to happen in your life is going to come from your heart. Everything. And God says that there's four kinds. And he likens my heart to soil. He says there's hard, rocky, thorny, and good. So last week we found out that if we are going to have established hearts, if I'm going to grow in faith, if faith is going to come into my heart, be planted in my heart, then I'm going to have to cultivate my heart. I'm going to have to soften it. If it's hard, sin will harden your heart. When God tells you not to do something and you continue to do it, you get a callus on your heart and you stop hearing from God. But the moment you repent, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, that will not despise. It's a sacrifice of God. Those tears wash. The word is the water. It begins to wash that hard soil in your heart. It begins to break it up and you can change. Thorny soil or rocky soil is that soil that is self-centered and has no root in itself. Here's the word of God. It rejoices for a while, but as soon as persecution or affliction for the word's sake comes, you're out of here. You lose your friends. Your husband ditches on you. Your parents think you're nuts. And all of a sudden, you find yourself all by yourself. You've got no root in yourself. You're shallow, self-centered, frightened. Whenever there's trouble, whenever there's any kind of heat, I'm out of here. I don't think so. I used to believe, but I don't think I believe now. That church is just too crazy. God says that's rocky soil. That when the heat comes on, that word, the seed, cannot find root to grow. Now, the seed, the word of God, is every promise of God. Every word of God is in seed form. Everything on this planet means something. Did you know you're getting a lesson every day you open your eyes? When you look at the birds, there's a lesson. When you see the sunset, when you look at creation, God's teaching you the Godhead, showing you that he's real. And God uses the earth to describe himself. A parable is an earthly story with a spiritual truth. And God says that my word is a seed. And just like I had an acorn seed last week. I didn't have one, but I lifted one up. Let's say this is an acorn seed. Inside this acorn is a oak tree. Is it not? It's in seed form. You can't see the oak tree, but it's all in there, isn't it? And as soon as that oak seed, that acorn is planted in the soil, and you put some water on it, you tend it, you pluck the weeds out of it, make sure there's no rocks under the roots so that it can grow deep, what's going to happen? You're going to have an oak tree, right? Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God, because Jesus is teaching this. He says, my word is the seed. I need healing. There's a promise of healing. Inside of that promise is healing. I need God to meet my needs. He says, I'll meet all of your need according to my riches and glory. Prove me, he says in Malachi. Prove me, if I'll not. Open the windows of heaven, rebuke the devourer on your behalf, and open the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing you cannot contain it. But child, you're going to have to learn how to be generous and give and trust me with the money, because money is under mammon and I have no other gods before me. He doesn't want his daughters fearful and letting money rule them. We rule money. God has finances in seed form, but I'm going to have to obey the word. So God says that if my soil is good, then when I plant this promise in my heart, when I plant the word in my heart, that good soil is going to bring a crop. It's going to bring 30, 60, 100-fold return in my life. And he said that the measure that you hear and do is the measure that will come back to you. So if you want a 100-fold return, then it's a 100-fold measure of hearing and doing the Word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You want 60-fold? Then it's 60%. You want 30? It's 30%. The quality of the soil will determine the quantity of the harvest. The established heart. So today I want to do part two, and I'm going to go fast. This was a lot of review. Are you all right with me? How do I develop this good soil? I want to give you some more things to do. And Paul is writing Timothy, and Timothy is a young man, phenomenal young man, gifted, like my son-in-law Dan and my son Luke, just gifted young men like Joey Varcoso, gifted of God, ready to take on the world. Timothy has handed the largest church in the Gentile nations in Ephesus. He's young. Paul's in prison. He's in Rome. He's about to lose 1 Timothy. He's not going to lose his neck yet. 2 Timothy, he's about to die. These are Paul's last words. And he says, Timothy, I got to teach you some things before I go home. So go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Talking about establishing the heart, getting my soil good. Not do I only have to plow up my ground and pluck out the weeds. The weeds, the thorny soil, is the cares of this world, the lust for other things, the desire for other things, the deceitfulness of riches. Those things will come in and creep into my life and choke my seed so I don't bear fruit. So if you've got a lot of cares, if your desires are where God's desires are not, then your seed is being choked and you're not bearing fruit. You'll go to heaven, but you'll not bear any fruit. And I want you to be supernatural girls. I want your children to be amazing Christians. Some of you are first generation. I need you to break those generational curses off of your family. And you can do it, but it's going to take faith. Your family's had patterns year after year, century after century. You're the first one that's ever been born again. Well, guess what? God's plan for your life is to break those curses and to see that next generation come up further and faster than you ever have. But it's going to take faith. That's why I'm hard. That's why Jim's hard sometimes. That's why we don't need to be afraid of the supernatural, but we need to learn how to work in the kingdom of God and to know what the kingdom is saying to us. So Paul says to Timothy, chapter 2, are you there? You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Goes on to say, and if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Three things this morning on establishing my heart. Last week, our job is to keep our soil plowed. I got to get the rocks out, and I got to get the weeds out. And if my soil's hard, I got to get with God and find out, why am I not receiving? Why am I constantly offended? What's going on, Lord? And God will take you back to that place of disobedience. And when you repent, everything changes. So if you're not receiving, you're not hearing from God, and life isn't what it used to be as a Christian, my advice to you is to plow your field, your heart, get before God. Let him show you. Let him sift you and let him show you. And then as you see what God wants you to see, when you change and turn, everything in your life will change and turn. So plowing our fields. Now this week, three things. God says, I want you to be like the soldier. You're going to have to understand that military men and women belong to the military. They are number one focused. If I'm going to establish my heart in God, I am going to have to stay focused. I'm going to have to understand that my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. That I am being crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Colossians chapter 3 says, for you are dead in Christ. You are dead. Nevertheless, you live. And the life that you now live, you live in him. We are like the military. God uses the military as an example to us. Now, you and I know what the military is like in this nation. You enlist, you now belong to the army. You cannot decide to go AWOL. You cannot decide that you do not want to obey orders. You cannot decide that you're afraid and that you don't want to go to war. You cannot decide that you don't agree with your captain or your sergeant. Why? Because you are under authority and you are in the military and you have enlisted in this army, and now you have, by your own choice, submitted yourself to the rules and the regulations and the authority of the military. Is that not true? Well, God says it's the same thing, Timothy. If it's good for Timothy, it's good for Debbie Cobray in 2010. I have to understand that if I'm in the military, like somebody in the military, I'm going to have to stay focused. It's going to take a lifetime. My life is not my own. I can no longer make the choices about where I want to go and what I want to do, because I am now under authority. It is now his decision to tell me what my duties are for the day. If I don't hear anything from him after I've asked him, then I go about my day with what is in front of me to do, because ministry is what your hand finds to do every day, every moment. You want to move? You better check with God before you make the move. You want to change churches? You better check with God before you change churches. You want to divorce that husband? You better check with God before you do the divorce. There are grounds for divorce in the Word of God. If you want to go sleeping with that guy, you better check with God to see if that is the man that he wants you to marry, and what are you doing sleeping with him anyway? No ringy, no flingy. If he's not willing to make a blood covenant with you, if he is not willing to pay the price to get you the gift, then he doesn't get the candy store. He doesn't get it. Why? Because you got generations in your womb, and you're not going to raise up sons and daughters that do not have a loving father that's going to help them become. Now, if you've already done that like I did, screwed up, I was the woman at the well, don't condemn yourself, but now start today changing your life. And God is the God that does makeup. He restores. He restored my life. I'd made so many mistakes. That's why most of the church looked at me and wouldn't even have me or have Jim. That's why we're in San Bernardino. We're pastoring a group of misfits. Because we're misfit. But look at what God's doing with the weak and the foolish and the misfit. Because I'll tell you what the Word says. The Word says God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. And I'll take faith over wealth any day, because faith brings the impossible into my very, very visible world. You got to stay focused. What does that mean? Familiar scripture. Philippians 3:12, Paul says, not that I've already attained. He's talking about running the race. He's talking about being, wanting to be like Jesus. He says, not that I've already attained. This is a lifetime process. Don't be so darn hard on yourselves. It's going to take a lifetime for you. Takes a lifetime for me. Takes a lifetime to build a church like this. Takes a lifetime to raise up a new generation. But I can't think of anything better to do with my life than to believe God and to bow my knee before my King and do what He tells me to do. Paul says, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Girls, I do not count myself to have apprehended. It says, brethren, but if he was here, he'd say, girls. But one thing I do, forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Girls, it is an upward call. You are ascending. Every day that you believe God, every day that you stand and you let your heart be steadfast and unmovable and unshakable in the Word of God, girl, you are ascending up. You're going up. You're not going down. You are going up. And God has a plan, and He will prevail if you don't give up. Number one, stay focused. It's going to take a lifetime. I love this verse, 1 Corinthians 4. It's not in on the over, but let me just read it to you. It says, Paul says in verse 4, he says, I know nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. He says, I don't know. He says, my heart sometimes wants to condemn me. You want to condemn me? He says, but I'm not going to judge anything before the time. I'm going to do what God says, and if you don't like me, then let God reveal it at the end. Stop beating yourselves up. You can't undo what's been done, but you can go forward and change your life. Stay focused. You belong to God. Number two, play by the rules, because he says to Timothy, in verse 5, he says, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, she is not crowned unless she competes according to discipline. Discipline is very involved in an established heart. If I do not discipline my tongue, if I do not discipline my flesh, if I do not discipline my thoughts, then my tongue will run wild. Because this tongue is like a little rudder on a ship. And that little piece of equipment on the bottom of that ship where you don't see it, it's under the water, will switch that ship to the right, to starboard, or to port. It is an amazing thing. I have a sailboat. It is a 50-foot sailboat. That is one big sailboat. I had to dock that thing this week. You don't think my heart was going like this? And here in this big old boat is this little tiny rudder. And that rudder determines whether I go to port or whether I go to starboard. It's the same thing with my tongue. James says the tongue is like the rudder of a ship. It's a little member, but oh, it will pull your direction starboard or to port. It will set the direction of your life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And James says that the tongue cannot even be tamed. So how do I then, God, if I have to play by the rules and one of them is my tongue, get my tongue right, then God, how do I do this? Grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. God's power in me to do what His truth demands of me. God, I can't tame this tongue, but You can. Therefore, I yield my tongue to You. I am expecting Your power and Your grace to help me change. I'm not going to swear like I used to swear. You know what happened to me? I used to swear like a sailor. I am a sailor. And just because I flipped my Christmas tree off doesn't mean that I swore at it. That's a whole nother story. Okay. The tongue. When I say something that I shouldn't say, all of a sudden, I've given God permission. He checks my spirit. Oh, why did I say that? Has anybody else ever experienced that? Okay, well, if you give Him permission every day to check your mouth, you will be surprised. You'll be going all day long. And then you want to get a piece of duct tape. Okay, I'm not saying nothing for the rest of the day. He will help us discipline ourselves, getting our flesh under control. Listen, we're Americans. We're the fattest nation in the world. That's because we have all this food in front of us. How mean is that? What if we didn't have any food? We'd be skinnier. So what do we have to do? We have to rely on the grace of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace to help us every day. Lord, what am I putting in my mouth? Please help me to change my appetites. I have to learn to say no. Look at your neighbor and say, no, no. No, 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 no. That's a mustn't touch it. Discipline. Number three. He goes on in verse 6 and he says, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say and may the Lord give you understanding. The hardworking farmer. In other words, this isn't going to happen. Your heart's not going to be established. Steadfast and unmovable. In a storm, it's not going anywhere. It's not going to fall down and die. It's not going to be the drama queen. It's not going to give up. It's not going to quit. First time I ever sailed with Jim, we started to breach, and that ship of ours was coming about. There was huge winds, and it was just going into the wind. And I'm at the helm. I didn't want to be at the helm. I didn't want to be on that boat. And I remember this is what I did. I let go of the wheel, which you never do. I let go of the wheel. And I said, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. And I flipped out. Where was my faith? There was no faith. None. But I'm not doing that now. I'm learning how to sail, so I'm not afraid. You're learning how to do this. You're learning. That's why he comes alongside to help us, to teach us, to train us, so that when we flip out and we are the drama queen and we're going to die, our kids are going to go to hell, I'm never going to get married, we're never going to get out of this, they stole my house, I'll never have another house. When that wants to come on you, the steadfast heart says, no. No, we're not going there. No, we're not bowing to that. It takes hard work, guys. It takes discipline. And then it takes a heart that is willing to obey God. Because that's what hard work is all about. The hardworking farmer. Listen, faith without works is dead. If you're going to work in faith, it's going to have to be obedience. James 2:26, and we'll close with this. For as the human body apart from the spirit is lifeless, so faith apart from its work of obedience is also dead. The hardworking farmer is my example. In other words, it never stops. There's always something to do. Always. Hard work isn't bad, it's good. And hard work and faith means that no matter what I see or what I don't see, I'm going to still believe, I'm going to speak, I'm going to decree, I'm going to thank God, because number four is always be grateful, give thanks. Because after you've been focused, you're learning to discipline your life, you're working hard, which is obedience. When God says to do something, you don't look at him and say, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to love her. I don't want to call her. I don't want to love my husband. I don't want to do what he says to do. No, I'm not going to do that, God. So you don't do that. You say, shut up, self-pity. Shut up. We're doing what God says to do. Now I give thanks. Because when I'm grateful for everything in my life, I'm not saying give thanks for cancer. I'm not saying give thanks for losing your house. I'm saying give thanks in the midst of the bad situation. I can thank God that if God be for me, who can be against me? I can thank God that the answer is on the way. I can thank God that the best is yet to come. I can thank God that if he did not spare his own son, but when I was an enemy, Romans chapter 5, he allowed him to be crucified and take on my sin when I was his enemy. How much more will he do for his daughters who are now righteous and sanctified and holy, and they cry out to the Lord day and night? Will he not run to their aid speedily, Jesus said. But will I find faith when I return on the earth? Girls, it's hard work. It's good work, though, because it's a good fight of faith. It's a good fight of faith. So the established heart, a heart that is steadfast, unmovable, She is abounding in hope. She doesn't let go of it. Even though hell's coming against her, she is not going to lay down and die because she has an established heart. And she will see the wicked and her enemy, which is Satan himself. She will see God take him out in her life. But she's going to have to, number one, stay focused. She's going to have to, number two, who can tell me what number two was? Play by the rules. Number three, she's going to have to work hard. Faith without works is dead. You're going to have to lay your life down. It's hard work, but it's good work. And number four, she is going to have to continually give thanks for what God has done. Let's get to the tables. We have to be out of here in half an hour. I love you with all my heart.